Welcome to Catholic Comments. I am Dr. Wendy M. Wright from the Department of Theology at Creighton University, a Jesuit Catholic university in Omaha, Nebraska. And I'm here with my co-host, Dr. John O'Keefe, also of the Department of Theology.
Hello, Wendy. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. And also with Father Dennis Hamm from the Society of Jesus, who is a biblical scholar from the department as well. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Thank you. Today we're going to continue our series of Catholic spiritual resources, and we'll be exploring a form of prayer, the examine or the examination of consciousness, sometimes called the examination of conscience.
Well, good morning, Father Hammond. Thanks for joining us. So why don't we start off with just a very basic question. What exactly is the examine or the examination of consciousness?
Well, examine is a strange word in our language. It's really the Spanish word that simply means examination. And I think we got to use that Spanish form because St. Ignatius popularized it in his spiritual exercises. And so to sort of distinguish that particular kind of prayer, some people have gotten into the habit of just saying the examine, and that's what it means.
So it actually shows up originally in the spiritual exercises? Is that the original context for it?
Yes, it's one of the exercises that he teaches in that manual of ways of praying. And it's right close to the beginning, and it's really an expression of a long tradition of the Church. He didn't invent it. He's working with people in that manual who are usually beginners in taking their own spiritual life seriously, and so one of the first things he has them do is prepare well for their own confession.
For those who are not familiar with St. Ignatius, I simply want to say that Ignatius of Loyola is the founder of the Society of Jesus, or the Jesuits, lived about 400 years ago,
right.
And he wrote these wonderful spiritual exercises, which we explored a little bit with Sister Marie Schwann, mm-hmm. And you're speaking particularly of one exercise within those series of exercises.
Exactly, yeah.
So, and one of the things that's always struck me with respect to the exercises is that in a way, they really are exercises. They're practices. They're things that we can do to actually improve our spiritual life, improve our relationship with God. When we do the examine, though, what exactly is the goal, and why should we do it? What's the purpose of the examine?
Well, you're exactly right when you focus on the word exercises, because he really meant that analogy with exercises for physical fitness. His concept was, well, there's such a thing as a kind of spiritual fitness, too. You can improve your spiritual health by doing some things, by disposing yourself for God's presence and God's grace, by actually following a method. And in this case, he was taking the conventional practice of examination of conscience to prepare for confession. But in carrying it out and in teaching it to others, it really became a lot more than just getting ready for confession. It got to be a way of praying about your daily experience. And in the Jesuit order, he taught that if everything else goes to pot because you're so busy, the one thing to hang on to is the daily examine, because that's one way of making sure that you're taking seriously the presence of God in your ordinary life.
Is it correct to say that typically the examine might be done at the end of a day, looking back at your day? Is that one way to do it?
Yes, that's the way I do it. The drawback can be, of course, that you're so tired at the end of the day that you have trouble focusing, so some people like to do it at the beginning of the day and reflect on the previous day, because often the night's sleep gives a certain clarity to yesterday, and it helps you prepare for the coming day. But I still do it towards the end of the day myself. And I'll tell you the format that I like to follow. It's pretty much what Ignatius recommended, but I have certain things that I found very helpful. The way I go about it is first of all, to say a prayer for light, realizing now I'm not just going to go into reminiscence and daydreaming about the day. I'm really looking for some light, some illumination, some understanding about how God was trying to reach me through the experience of the day. And then the next thing I do is to walk through the day. Sometimes I go from the present and go backwards. Sometimes I go from how I woke up and move forward, using as my cues places or activities or encounters with persons. And to do it in the spirit of thanksgiving, not looking for where I goofed, not searching for my sins, those things will emerge. But receiving the day in thankfulness, that's always an attractive thing. It's always positive. So I walk through the day looking for things to be thankful for. That leads to the third part, which is to notice where there was a strong feeling, either positive or negative, because the emotional resonance of a particular memory is usually indicative that something important was going on there. It could be either, a terrible thing, like, oh, I really regret that, or it could be delight in something good that happened. But wherever there was a strong feeling resonance, that means there's something important there. And so the third thing I do is to use that moment, because you can't think of everything at once, to take one of those moments that had a strong feeling connected with it, positive or negative, and make that the content of prayer, just to talk to God about it spontaneously. It could be a prayer for forgiveness. It could be a prayer for healing. It could be a prayer for someone else whose need I noticed, who needs my intercession. It could be a prayer for some grace I feel I need to deal with something, whatever flows naturally. And then the fourth thing is to, now there are five things to this, and I'm already at what I usually call the fifth one. But at any rate, it makes sense then to look forward to the future, because that's part of our life, how what we anticipate. And sometimes I use as a cue my appointment book to see what's coming up in the next 24 hours. And there, too, I watch for the feelings, because what can turn up when you look at your appointment book? Kind of a zesty anticipation of something you're looking forward to, or fear. There's an encounter you're not looking forward to at all. Whatever it might be, to then use that as the focus of my prayer. I'll tell you something that occurred to me just this morning thinking about this. You know how it is a kind of a maxim today that you live in the present, live in the moment, be here now. And I began to realize that's a half-truth. Because you can fall into the present and be pushed around by it unless you have somehow dealt with the past and have taken a position about the future. Until we as human beings deal with our past and our future, we really can't be present. We're distracted by regrets or by fears. And when you've prayed about the immediate past and the immediate future, then you've sort of cleared the deck to really be here now, to be present.
That's a wonderful reflection you've just given us. If I can summarize briefly again, you place yourself in the presence of God, asking for light. You walk thankfully through the events of the past day, noticing moments where there's a strong negative or positive feeling. Pray spontaneously out of those moments, and then anticipate the next day again, and also watching for the feelings that perhaps your appointment book or your sense of what is coming evokes for you, and pray out of those as well. Is that?
That's right. Actually, you summarized that very well. You actually got 5 points, the 5 points I was looking for when you did that.
So yes.
It turned out.
One of the things that seems to me to be a long-term benefit of this is that you begin to notice patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Patterns of resistance where maybe God is inviting you to grow, maybe patterns that are suggesting that you move in a different direction in your life, patterns of consolation where you really do see the presence of God and have a sense that you're moving into a deeper relationship with God. It's the actual practice, and this is one of the things I love so much about Ignatian spirituality, is that it gives you a technique, an exercise, something you can actually do on a daily basis that can have long-term benefits for your life.
Yes. Oh, yes. And you're taking the presence of God seriously. I mean, one way I think about it is it heals us from our deism. You remember what deism is? That's the approach to God that acknowledges God's existence as the source of everything, but still thinks of God as like a distant clockmaker who got things going but isn't terribly involved, really. And, of course, that's not the God of our revelation. The God of our revelation is intimately involved with us, and this kind of prayer acts on that doctrine of our faith, that God is, in fact, very much involved in our moment, in our days.
Also, that was beautifully put. There is this strong sense in Ignatian spirituality of finding God in all things, and certainly the examine, as you, Father Ham, have explored it with us, allows us to, in fact, find God in all things, even though perhaps in the course of a day we were too busy, we didn't notice, we were distracted. As we go back over our day and we also anticipate our next day, God's wonderful presence becomes more available to us.
Mm-hmm.
Father Ham, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
This is Catholic Comments with Dr. John O'Keefe and Dr. Wendy Wright from Creighton University.